Well, a very good morning, friends, and welcome to another memorable Monday with me, Rocky Stevenson, pastor of Benoni Bible Church. We've been exploring on Memorable Monday people and events throughout church history, moments that shaped the church's history. Over the last couple of weeks, we've walked through John Calvin's early life, his studies in law, life-changing encounters with God, and even the path towards the Reformation. We saw some of his writings, especially the Institutes of the Christian Religion, which have made a massive impact upon our world. We looked into Tulip a little bit. Today, we arrive at Geneva in 1536. Calvin, who is only 27 years of age at this point, comes to this small Swiss city with a bold vision to bring the gospel not just to its into the pulpit, but into the very life of the entire city. And Geneva was far from a perfect city, though you must remember that Calvin is idealistic at this point. He has written the Institutes of the Christian Religion as a defense to the king in France. This city is socially restless, this city of Geneva. It's morally lax in many of its places, and still it was deeply influenced by Catholic tradition. But Calvin saw potential with Geneva. He believed that the Word of God could transform both hearts as well as society, and in many ways, it did. It's important here to note, really, that something of a reality of this period. The Reformation Church was still wrestling with the proper relationship between church and state, and while the gospel was reforming hearts, the civic authorities and the spiritual leaders were still entwined together, intertwined with one another. So Calvin himself accepted really a significant role in governing the city, which today we might call a theocratic approach. And this is a critical point. The Reformation was about scripture and salvation, but it was still learning how to draw the lines between spiritual authority and civil power. And this reality was also shaped by the hermeneutical framework of the time. Reformers like Calvin often interpreted scripture through a lens that saw little distinction between Israel and the church. It's called covenantalism. And reading God's covenantal promises as extending into society and into the civic structures. And so this approach naturally reinforced the idea of a union between the church and the state. They had this idea of a theocratic society which the church was involved in that sense. So a pattern which was familiar from the very Roman Catholic Church, which for centuries had wielded immense political as well as spiritual authority. And even today, we see vestiges of this in existence, in the very existence of the Vatican City, the smallest country in the world, where ecclesiastical leadership directly governs territory. We still see this with the Anglican Church, as the King of England is the head of the Anglican Church in England, or what we call the Church of England. And for Calvin, and even for his contemporaries, the expectation that God's law should guide public life was a continuation of long-standing biblical and historical assumptions. Even as the Reformation sought to then reclaim scripture as the ultimate authority over conscience and over practice, there was still this connection. The idea was almost an obvious one to them that the civic authorities need to be intertwined with the church authorities. Calvin's first couple of years in Geneva were challenging. He arrived in 1536. He began preaching and he began instructing the congregation. He's zealous for reform. He sought to align the city to the city's life with biblical truths. And yet reform is never, ever easy. And Calvin introduced moral expectations upon the people of Geneva, a call towards personal holiness, a focus on disciplined worship and accountability through spiritual oversight. And the city council, composing of civic leaders, resisted some of these measures, and tensions escalated. And only 2 years later, in 1538, Calvin was forced into exile. So not only had he then gone into exile because of the Roman Catholic Church, which he wrote the Institutes back, but now, these 2 years later of being at Geneva, and you can imagine the frustration that he must have been going through and all of the zeal with which he took on this task, 2 years later, he's forced into exile. And during this period, Calvin did not cease his work. He continued to write and to refine his theology, deepening his understanding of God's sovereignty and human responsibility, and getting to grips with many of the things that he had thought about already inside of the institutions, or the institutes of the Christian religion, which he actually ended up editing a couple of times after that. Then in 1541, so 3 years later, God providentially brought him back into Geneva. And this time, he had a stronger mandate. His return marked a new chapter. It's almost as though those 3 years had helped to galvanize some of Calvin's way of thinking. And one, he really came back with this idea of structural reform and educational initiatives and practical application of scripture into public life. And one of Calvin's most important innovations was what was called the consistory. The consistory. And this was a body of pastors and elders who oversaw both the doctrine as well as the moral conduct within the church. In many respects, this is somewhat still in practice in many Presbyterian churches in many respects. It's kind of been molded and changed over time. But the consistory was this kind of body of pastors, elders, who oversaw both the doctrine as well as the moral conduct within the church. But remember, the church and the state had not yet been properly separated, even in Geneva. And so their responsibility was not simply to preach, but to guide the community in holiness. And the consistory enforced accountability, corrected error, and encouraged repentance. It was a bold attempt to mirror something of the early church's concern for spiritual health, but they took this a little bit further than what the early church did. They actually modeled this somewhat after Acts 6, where the early church had nominated the prototype deacons, in that sense, to really take care of the community. And that was something of the idea of the consistory. And alongside spiritual oversight, then Calvin was deeply concerned with the practical needs of the society. So he established schools to ensure that children learned both literacy as well as truths of scripture. And of course, with the desire that all children should be able to read the Bible. And he organized care for the poor, for widows, for the orphans. He trained missionaries. He prepared men to carry the Reformation message beyond Geneva. And all of this was done with a single vision: to bring God's word into every sphere of life. And this was something that is remarkable about the life of John Calvin, is he wanted God's word to be central in all of life. Yet, we must also remember that Calvin's Geneva also reveals the challenges of mixing church and state, because the city council, though supportive at times, often had to navigate and negotiate with ecclesiastical authorities. And so while Calvin's moral reforms were intended for spiritual health, they were also enforced through civil mechanisms. Fines, discipline, and social pressure was applied to maintain the public morality. And this raises an important lesson for us. Even godly reformers can operate in contexts where church and state are not fully separated. And Calvin believed that God's truth should shape public life, and he acted on that conviction. So we can't fully blame Calvin for this reality. He was in a sense a product of his times, but the danger of conflating spiritual authority with civil power was very real at this time. This tension that the Reformation leaders would have to navigate throughout all of Europe. And it reminds us today that the gospel transforms society, but our calling is always first to hearts, then to community, without coercing beyond the word of God. The positive side is very clear, because Calvin's reforms fostered education, charity, spiritual training. He made scripture accessible. He emphasized preaching and catechisms, or catechesis, in other words, just training your children. And he created structures that trained leaders for future generations, of which we still benefit so much from some of the reforms that were brought about in Geneva through a man like a John Calvin those 500 years ago. So Geneva became this hub for Reformation thought, and that ripple effect reached far beyond the city walls. Calvin's restructuring of the church was equally significant. The Presbyterian model, which today is still in action around our world, emphasizes shared leadership, a council of elders and pastors rather than a single bishop. And this promoted accountability and encouraged collective wisdom in guiding the congregation. It echoes the biblical pattern of Acts 14 verse 23 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, where elders oversee the flock, they protect doctrine, and they shepherd with care. And this was something that Calvin really sought to bring about. Now, of course, there's many different models for church in regard to the way that we do things even in our day, but this was, in a sense, in Calvin's time, something that was almost revolutionary. Worship also saw reforms. Calvin insisted on preaching as central. He coupled this with prayer and the sacraments. Now remember that for much of the time of the Roman Catholic Church, they would have something called the altar, and you would come to the altar for the Lord's Supper, and that was very central in many of the churches. Many churches would be built around that altar, in a sense. But Calvin actually put the pulpit back into the center place, for preaching became central, coupled with prayer and the sacraments, and hymns and psalms. Psalms were encouraged, and while excess ritual and even ornamentation were removed. So he wanted the focus on God's word and the congregation's understanding, reflecting Deuteronomy 6 verse 6 to 7, which is teaching God's truth daily in all parts of life. And again, the overlap with civil authority is shown here. There's moral enforcement and education and oversight were often supported by the city council. So it was a partnership that actually sought to integrate faith and society. This was the bold vision of John Calvin, but one that also revealed the ongoing struggle to define the proper boundaries between church and state. So, what can we take from Calvin in action? Well, Geneva reminds us that faith is never ever private. Acts 2 verse 42 to 47 gives us a picture of the early church, teaching, fellowship, worship, generosity, and community. And Calvin sought to create a similar environment in Geneva, albeit misguided in the sense of seeing no difference between the church and Israel and having some of the mixed up type of things, we can really look back and thank God for this example and the many lessons which we can learn when we study Calvin and when we study Geneva. And it shows that scripture is to be applied in daily life that transforms both hearts and then society. We may not replicate Calvin's theocracy or disciplinarian type of a rigor, but we can follow his example of integrating faith into action. That's something that Calvin did well. How do we care if we have to think about this for our neighbors? How do we prioritize education and discipleship and welfare? How do we ensure that church leadership really equips the next generation for gospel impact? I think it's good for us to look at the way that we're behaving. Sometimes people can get so fixated with Calvin. You'll have people that worship Calvin on the one side, and then you have others that almost demonize Calvin on the other side. And I think it's important for us to be able to look back with appreciation at what God was doing and then look at our own life, kind of like what happened with, you know, remember what happened with Peter as he asks Jesus, what is going to happen with John? And Jesus says, no, don't you worry about what's going to happen with John. You just worry about you. And I think that that's something that we can grab from this story as well. Calvin's story challenges us to wrestle with tensions that even remain today. How the church influences society, how faith is expressed in public life, how we maintain godly influence without overstepping God's boundaries for spiritual authority. These are some of the things that we need to think about. And next week, we'll look at some of the controversies that followed Calvin as well and look to learn from some of that as well. May the Lord bless you as you think through these thoughts. Amen.